a wonderful passage. We sort of feel as if we're done with Easter. Maybe we do. But this is one of Jesus' appearances to his disciples. We're still thinking about that because, of course, we're leading up to Pentecost. I'm reading from John chapter 20. This is a wonderful, wonderful passage. Little passage, a few verses. So try and stay awake. Verses 19 to 23. That Sunday evening. I always like to think about the way things start. What Sunday evening we're talking about? Let's think about that. Well, Mary Magdalene has come and said, I've seen the Lord, I've seen the Lord. But even so, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. And as he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hand and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Well, the title that's been given to me is Passing the Baton On. I don't know what you think of when you think of passing the baton on. Being a primary school teacher, I think of the schoolhouse race when you've perhaps only got one decent runner and that person does a sterling job on their leg, but they hand over to a mediocre runner who can't capitalize on the lead and still loses the race. Or perhaps more in line with what's going on in this passage, I think about one of those kind of films like Shackleton or something, and only in my imagination, we've got a group of intrepid explorers who've got themselves into a perilous situation. And more than that, their inspiring, charismatic, highly skilled leader is mortally wounded. And in his dying breath, he says, come with me on this imagination, okay. He says to his second in command, it's up to you now. You've got to get these people home. And second in command has always been great as second in command, but feels wholly inadequate for the job of taking over the leader. What a baton to be handed. As the Father has sent me, as God the Father has sent me, says Jesus, I am sending you. What a baton to be handed. And it's not looking good. Already the 12 are down to 11. Judas was a Judas. And the 11 are huddled together with the doors locked. They're fearful, with very good reason. And they're feeling hopeless and rudderless and bewildered. It's a really low moment. But they don't understand that actually in that moment, a cosmic shift has already taken place that has changed everything, because Jesus has defeated sin and death and the Satan. And the first indication of this for the disciples is that suddenly he is there. The door is still locked, but Jesus is there. And immediately, Jesus reaches tenderly and sympathetically to their core consternation. It's double fear and disbelief. And Jesus doesn't upbraid them, doesn't tell them off for that. He says, peace be with you. Oh, isn't that exactly what they needed in that moment? Peace, replacing their fear, enabling them to think straight, calming their trembling emotions, helping them to take the first baby steps towards realigning themselves with their new lives, their new situation. Of course, nothing has actually changed. They're still in fear of the Jews. There's still a massive problem out there. They're still in that same situation. But actually, everything is changed because Jesus is there. Peace, bringing peace. Isn't that what the presence of Jesus always brings? And what a computer, you know, what a lovely, compassionate approach Jesus has with his dear, struggling followers. When we think of the disciples, we don't have to sort of think, oh, they were amazing, I'm hopeless. They were just like me, just like you. But what he brings is, he brings them peace, which doesn't change anything, but it counters their gut-wrenching fear. And then there's their disbelief. Yes, the women had told them, Mary Magdalene had come and said, he's risen, I've seen him. Peter and John had run to the tomb and seen that it was empty. But they're still trembling with disbelief. They're still struggling with that. And so Jesus shows them his wounds. And at last, they're filled with joy. At last, they break through to believing. True, Jesus had arrived without opening the door, so that his resurrected body has new powers. It's been dynamically transformed, but he is their Lord. He is bodily alive, and he's got the wounds to prove it. He is the one that they saw crucified, the human being they saw die. He's no ghost, he's no fake. They can feel his substance. He's talking to them. He's alive, he's with them. You know, when you think about it, it was absolutely essential that these 11 people needed solid, rock-solid proof that Jesus had bodily risen from the dead. The kingdom project didn't stand a hope of going anywhere unless if they had any doubts at all. Jesus knew that. He understood their humanness. He sympathized with their need for absolute proof. So the wounds are still there. And this is just one of his appearances to them in which he puts into place foundation stones of rock solid certainty. They absolutely needed it. The showing of the wounds for the healing of doubting hearts. Because they were going to be the eyewitnesses on whose testimony the faith of billions all over the world is based, including us here this evening. It's their credibility that in one sense we trust. We read their testimony, we witness what they went on to do, and we can trust that the wonderful impossible happened. Jesus rose from the dead because he had conquered death. And John knew this in the beginning, when he was an old man, maybe, I don't know, 50, 60 years later. He writes at the beginning, this is 1 John, at the beginning of his letter, he's really making this point. He needs to say, we were there, trust me, I was there. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have seen and heard. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This is the one who is life itself, was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. It's on their testimony. They needed rock solid proof, and Jesus gave it to them. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And he repeats, peace be with you. And then he hands the baton. I don't think it would have brought me peace. But this is the incredible thing. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And then he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. So we've got sort of four things going on here. We've got peace, the task, the breathing, the Holy Spirit. Those things are all essential to each other. They all hang together. How could they possibly receive this task, accept this baton, without the peace of Christ? And the breathing, the word translated here as breathing is nowhere else in the New Testament. It's unique in the New Testament, this word. But it's the same word that is used in Genesis when it says God breathed life into man. This is divine, life-giving, creative power. It's a new creation. It's a new dawn flowing out from God. And with it, they receive the Holy Spirit. And this again, this Holy Spirit is not the Holy Spirit in the way he will come at Pentecost, fullness of power to be with them always. Jesus is still on earth, so the Holy Spirit has not been released yet. This is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of Christ coming into them. And all of this changes the disciples into apostles, the sent ones. And with Christ's breath in them, they become the minister of God's forgiveness. But hang on, they might have said, we can't do that. Only God can forgive sin. Yes, says Jesus, but from now on, he's going to do it through you. You have received my Holy Spirit. This isn't so that you can have some special, amazing experience, but so that you can do for the whole world what I, Jesus, have done for Israel. Jesus was a human being in a particular place at a particular short period of time. How could his message affect all other times and all other places? How does his message, which made sense in the first century Palestine, translate to other cultures and peoples who weren't thinking about God's kingdom, who weren't looking for a Messiah? Well, salvation is from the Jews for the whole world. And the apostles are the ones who are sent to start taking it there. Of course, they need the very breath of God as they receive this task. What a baton to be passed. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 16, who is sufficient for such things? And he answers his own rhetorical question, none of us, but God enables us by his Spirit. And we see the task beginning immediately after the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And we see working out here the way that this idea of passing on forgiveness works for the disciples, for the apostles. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, in response to Peter has given this incredible sermon and people's hearts are touched and they're saying, what shall we do? And Peter replies, each one of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children, and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God. This is Peter, his first declaration of forgiveness, freely available for everyone. So that's it. By the end of the Acts of the Apostles, of course, we read through the Acts. By the end of that, Paul has been recruited to the ranks, and hundreds of others are spreading all over the world with this message of repentance and forgiveness through Christ's death and resurrection. The baton is being handed on and on and on, and that message of forgiveness is going out. So Jesus' first sending of those apostles is multiplied and multiplied. And here we are, roughly 2,025 years later. Worlds away in all kinds of ways from those early beginnings. But what is our need? And what is our task? Steve's already referred to this in his prayer. Well, it's exactly the same, isn't it? We need, right here and now, to know the certainty of the presence of Jesus. He isn't here in bodily form showing us his wounds. He did that for the first disciples. They are witnesses. We believe their testimony. But Jesus is here, and he is here speaking peace into each of our hearts. It's not the kind of peace that you get when some sort of anxiety or difficulty has finished. There's a real few when something you've been really worried about works out okay, isn't there? Peace enters your heart. This is the peace which comes when you are still in the middle of the difficulty, when you are still countering the problems in your life, when you're still having to make decisions that are difficult, when you're still living with things that are not good and unresolved. It's the peace of the Lord Jesus that comes into our hearts. And don't we need that? Don't we need that tonight? And don't we need the faith through the power of the Holy Spirit to believe that Jesus is here and that his peace is for us and that his forgiveness is for us and for those that we meet with in those broken situations that we find ourselves in, that Jesus can speak into those, that he can bring healing. We need to know that, and we need to trust it. We need to step into that place on a daily basis. And what about the task? So our things are just the same. We need the presence of Jesus and his peace. But we also need to think about our task, because the baton has come to each one of us, you and me. I've really been thinking about this week. I'm feeling challenged. Let's challenge each other this evening. Who are you going to be meeting tomorrow? Where are you going to be going? In what way are you going to be able to share the good news naturally and joyfully and boldly that there is forgiveness and that there is peace available in the Lord Jesus? The world needs peace. I still wonder if Hattie and Steve can come forward. It was a simple message this evening and it wasn't a very long one.
It wasn't perfect.